Well, my name is Joseph, and I have had the privilege of pastoring the church where Shirley is a member here at Olney Baptist Church for the last 5 years. So most of you, all of you, probably know her longer than I did, but I did have the privilege of knowing her those 5 years and getting to know the family. I just like to thank you for coming today and showing your love for her, friends and family, people from the church. Thank you, Heidi, for playing the piano, and Chuck for playing the piano. Thank you to the funeral home for all their work and labor. I want to thank Edie especially. She's the one of the family I know the best and have just been on the phone with and over the last few weeks and probably years, just about Shirley and her condition and how we can best love her and care for her and help her. So thank you, Edie. It's been a blessing to get to know you. And see how you love Shirley well. Shirley loved a particular scripture verse, and you'll be helped now to follow along. You can follow along on the front of the bulletin or on the card given. Is this Bible verse from Galatians 2:20, and I'll read that now and spend some time thinking and meditating on that with you. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Let's pray and ask God's help as we think about this verse. Father, we thank you again for Shirley. We thank you that she loved your word. And God, we pray, Father, that we might even know more because of the next few minutes, thinking about this verse, why she loved it so much. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has not been gripped by the Son of God, who loved Shirley and gave Himself for her, that if they don't know Him, that they would come to know Him, that they might see Shirley again. For Lord, we know only in Christ do we have the hope of heaven. And so come, Holy Spirit, work in power and might, and let us hear from you, comfort us, convict us, and draw us to Jesus, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. What you feed on, what you eat, will either help you live a healthy life or it will hinder you from living a healthy life. Once when Shirley was in a rehabilitation center after she had fallen on the ice, I would come and visit her, and I noticed that she didn't much like the food that they were feeding her there. It was healthy food. I'm sure it was very good for you. But she didn't much care for it, and she would always be urging me, "You can eat this, you can have this, I don't want it, I'm not going to eat it." She was always trying to give me food, even at St. Joseph's Manor, she was trying to get me to take food home with me. And so I wanted to try and help Shirley eat something, and so I began to go by Burger King and get her several different kinds of hamburgers. And I would take those burgers to her, and she would gobble them down, and I would eat the healthy food. Well, one way to ensure that you live well and live eternally is by feeding on the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And I know Shirley fed on God's Word because she had so much of it memorized. And I fondly remember the trips I would make to pick her up to bring her to church at one point in her life. And we would go over scripture that she'd memorized. And she could rattle off Galatians 2:20 so quickly that you could hardly know what she was saying. "I'm crucified with Christ, no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and life I live, now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Oh, she knew it. She knew it well. I was talking with John before the service, and just remembering how she would bring him to church, where you hear the Word of God, what we're doing right now, hearing the Word of God. And so this is in honor of Shirley, to hear this word that she show love from Galatians 2:20. And so I want to meditate with you on Galatians 2:20. First, I want you to see that you need to be crucified. This text teaches us that you need to be crucified. "I have been crucified with Christ." What is crucifixion? We understand crucifixion primarily and mainly points to Jesus' death on the cross. The cross is not a nice little emblem that you hang around your neck primarily, though it is that. The cross in Jesus' day was a gruesome, horrendous, unspeakable form of execution. And so it's like hanging a hangman's noose around your neck, hanging an electric chair around your neck, hanging the firing squad around your neck. That's what a cross was in Jesus' day. A gruesome, public, painful form of Roman execution. And that's what it was for Jesus. It was a painful form of His execution. It was His execution, and even more so than the physical pain, the nails and the suffering of asphyxiation was the wrath of God. We know that on the cross, Jesus, in His crucifixion, bore the eternal wrath of an eternal God for the sins that He did not commit. We read about it in Isaiah 53, 4 and 10. We esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. Jesus was crucified. He bore the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God, the curse of God for the sins of the world, that we might not face that judgment. And this verse teaches us that Christians died when Jesus died. I have been crucified, Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This points us to the fact that those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, like Shirley, when Jesus was crucified, Shirley was crucified. All those who have turned from their sin and believe in the Lord Jesus, when Christ was crucified, they have been crucified. One Bible teacher said, believers are regarded by God as having hung on the cross with Christ. And that's why, my friends, we have hope today, and why Shirley has hope today is because Jesus bore the wrath of God. Jesus bore the curse of God. Jesus took the hell that sinners deserve that we might be delivered from it. Why did Paul need to be crucified? Because he was a sinner. Because he was a sinner. He had offended a holy and a good and a righteous God. Paul wrote in Romans 7, 9, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment, the law came, sin came alive and I died. Paul needed to be crucified. Christians need to be crucified. Everyone on earth needs to be crucified because we have sinned. And friend, knowing yourself as a sinner is the first step in coming to know the Savior that Shirley knew and loved and believed in. I wonder today if you know yourself as one like Paul who needs to be crucified, who's sinned against a good and a holy and a loving God. God has shown us His standard of holiness and perfection in the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods before Him. Worship Him and Him only. Delight in Him above all things. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. The New Testament Scriptures teach us that even anger towards someone is like murder. The Word says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said if you look at a woman in lust, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. We've all broken these laws. Friend, the Bible teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, even Shirley, even Pastor. We've all sinned against God, and that's why we need a crucified Savior. And that's why we ourselves need to be in union with Him and be crucified. We die. We're crucified by not by seeing that we've not kept God's law, by seeing that you cannot keep God's law, you cannot obey God perfectly and righteously, and you realize that you need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior who did keep God's law perfectly, who died on that cross and rose from the dead, and we're crucified with Christ when we trust Him, when we believe on Him who died and rose. Friend, have you been crucified with Christ? I know for a fact, surely. She's saying, preach it, Pastor. Oh, preach it. Preach the gospel, Pastor. I know she's cheering. She wants you to hear this message more than ever before in her life. Have you, like Shirley, been crucified with Christ? Have you come to see the futility of living for other things and other loves and other pleasures? Have you come to see yourself as a sinner under God's wrath and condemnation? And have you seen Christ as a glorious, loving, holy Savior who died and rose again? Come, believe on Him and be saved. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Rob mentioned that her faith was her most prized possession. More than shopping. More than family, more than church, more than anything, Christ. Christ must be our prized possession. And Paul, who wrote these words, I've been crucified with Christ, he wrote about that in Philippians 3:8. He said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The old King James says, dung, in order that I may gain Christ. Surely wants you to gain Christ today, if you haven't already. Secondly, once crucified, you live a new life in Christ. Look again at verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. When you trust in the Lord Jesus, when you believe in Him, your old identity is dead. The love for sin that you had is now dead. You don't live any longer. You don't live for yourself. I love the testimony of how Aunt Shirley was always giving to others. When we die in Christ Jesus, we live unto God and live for others. We don't live for self. We don't live for sin anymore. We don't live for the pleasures of this world. We live for Jesus. And Jesus lives in us and empowers us to live for Him. It's not a drudgery. Oh, now I have to live for Jesus. No, He lives in you and gives you a delight to obey Him, a delight to follow Him. You begin to fall out of love with the things of the world and fall in love with the things of God, like Scripture. I remember before I was saved, Scripture was boring. And then I got saved. Oh, and then the Scripture became the greatest book on earth. And it was, for surely. Christ lives in you. Christ who lives in me, Paul wrote. Christ is your life. Christ is your joy. Christ is your all in all when you believe on Him. And as Shirley trusted in Christ, so He lived in her. And therefore she is not dead, because He still lives in her today. And He died once, but He rose again, never to die again. And so she will rise again. And that's our hope and comfort today. Shirley had a fear of not going home. I remember when she was in St. Joseph's Manor and it became evident that she was not going to go back home. This was a great burden on her heart and on her mind and on her soul. And I remember speaking with her about this and she would cry, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And her encouragement was this: Christ is my home. No matter where you go, no matter where you are, if you have Christ living in you, Christ is your home. Christ is your hope. Christ is your comfort because He lives in you. And once crucified, the text teaches us that we live by faith. Look again at the text. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so Paul says, I was crucified and yet I live in the flesh. And how do I live? By faith. By believing God and His promises. Christians live by faith. Surely lived by faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We live by faith and not by sight. Shirley had not physically seen the risen Christ. She had not put her fingers in His nail-pierced hands. She had not put her fingers in His spear-pierced side. But she believed by faith. That she had been brought up in church to read God's Word, and the Spirit had worked in her heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed by faith. And so we live by faith. Remember Doubting Thomas? He's got that name because Jesus appeared to the disciples when He was not present, and they all told Him they'd seen the risen Christ. And Thomas said, I will not believe unless I stick my fingers in the nail-pierced hands and feet and side. I will not believe. And so Jesus appears again to Thomas. And in John 20:27-29, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered Him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Friend, Shirley hadn't seen, but she believed. Blessed is she. You and I, we have not seen in the way that Thomas saw, but blessed are we if we believe. We live by faith and not by sight. We hope in God. As Bunyan said, we live on God who is invisible. We trust in God that surely is not dead because of what Jesus said in John 11 at a funeral where He was. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then He looked at Martha and said, do you believe this? Friend, that's our hope and comfort today. That Shirley Stetzer is not dead because of Jesus. We trust in God and believe in Him that He has conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is the last enemy. That's why it's good for you to cry today. I hate death. And as I looked out and sang that hymn, Amazing Grace, and saw you weeping over your beloved Shirley, oh, I feel it again. I hate death. Death has taken her. And though she's 93, sometimes people say, well, she was 93 and it was time to go. No! Death is not natural. It's not just the circle of life. It's not meant to be this way. Death is an enemy. And there's only been one conqueror of that enemy. Jesus Christ, the righteous one who died and rose up out of the tomb that we might live in Him. We trust in God that someday because of Jesus there will be no more death, there will be no more sin, there will be no more tears because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We trust in God that we will see Shirley again in heaven. This is not the end. Oh, for her, it is the beginning. For that day she died, she saw Christ in paradise. Friend, do you want to see Shirley again in heaven? I've prayed for you before this day and on this day. Will you see Shirley in heaven? Oh, friend, this is a serious, serious thing death is. And one thing funerals give us an opportunity to do is think about and meditate on the fact that we will all die someday. Death is coming, and it is short. 70, 80 years, everyone in this room will be dead. And my question to you today is, will you meet Shirley in heaven? Are you ready? Shirley, won't she say, and let her rip, Pastor. She wants you to hear this. She wants to meet you in heaven. And friend, the only way you can meet her is if, like her, you have been crucified with Christ. You turn from your sin and you believe on Him who died and rose again. Oh, friend, believe in Christ. Trust in Him. He will save you and change your life forever. Spurgeon ended one of his great books called All of Grace with this phrase, "Meet me in heaven." Oh, friend, meet Shirley in heaven. Come to Christ. Believe on Him. Meet her in heaven. She wants to meet you there. And lastly, once crucified, you know God's love. Oh, this is my most favorite part of this verse. Look again at the verse. Notice the personal nature of this verse. All the I's and me's. There's seven of them, personal pronouns. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, friends, Jesus' death on the cross is not just some general atonement for the world. He died for people by name. He had Shirley's name on His heart and mind when He died, and He loved her and gave Himself for her. Oh, to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. To have a personal relationship with Him. To know Him as a lover. And as a friend, friends, that's why you memorize something. Those of you who know what it's like to fall in love with somebody, and you get love letters and you read over them over and over again, you might memorize lines of them and have them on your heart. That's why people memorize. Shirley memorized Galatians 2:20 because it was a love note from her great lover Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved her and gave Himself for her. Oh, the love of God in Christ. Nothing can compare. Nothing can satisfy. Nothing can fill you with hope and joy and peace and save like the love of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to the old hymn. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever and more endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink, the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, friend, surely want you to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. To know the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. To be encouraged by the gospel of Jesus today. And know that she is with her lover in paradise. The personal, specific, earth-shattering, unfathomable, unchanging, active, pursuing, incomparable love of Christ was and is Shirley's only hope. And friends, it is our only hope and comfort in this day when we celebrate her life and give thanks to God and grieve her death and hope in the resurrection of the dead because of Jesus. In heaven, we will be reunited with her again for all eternity in the presence of our great Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you know the Savior? Surely love. Meet Shirley in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the testimony of Shirley Spencer. God, we thank You that her faith, her Christ, her church was the most important thing in her life. Father, we thank You that she loved Galatians 2:20. Oh Lord, we pray that we would know this verse. We would know the truths contained therein, and we would know the Savior who inspired it. And so, God, I pray now for this family who loves her so much. Thank you, Lord, for their testimonies about her. Thank you for their tears of love for her. Thank you for their being here to celebrate her life. Father, we pray for this family. God, we beg you to comfort them in their loss, Lord, in their pain, in their suffering, in their missing and loneliness, wishing to be with her again. Father, we beg you by your Spirit that you would come and you would comfort them. Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, that you would dry their tears. And that, Lord, above all, you would satisfy them with the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, work today and heal and save and glorify your name, even in Shirley's death, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.